Hey, can you hear me? This is a test. Can you hear the English interpretation? I'm going out into English. Can you hear us? Is that okay? This is a French booth testing English. Let's see. Is it going out the other way? English 1-2 testing.
Who turned that off?
One, two, three, four, five. She has me now. Yeah, can she? Who am I talking to there? You can talk back to me, please.
Can you hear me? Can you hear us?
Thank you very much.
Okay, this is the English channel. Tell us if you hear us.
Audio operator around a little bit. He turned some things off, which turned you off, unfortunately. But we've got you back now, and I think we're happy days.
Okay, this is the English channel coming up from the French booth.
Welcome, everyone. We're going to start a little bit early before the bosses come back from their meeting with Fadi. And Katrina and I have a bit of a song and dance act here that we will get underway. And then when Byron and Olivier return, we can continue on with the formalities. One of the things that we have, you will have seen in the actual program for today, was that we were going to introduce our own organisations to the other group, because we do have some members who may not be aware of what each group is actually, what their role is, what they're doing, and how we might be able to synergize some of those some of those activities that we do. So if you'd all like to just continue having your lunch and keep quiet, then we might be able to begin. For my part, you all will have a copy of my presentation, so I will go through it fairly quickly. I will do my presentation. Katrina will do hers, and then we might have a little bit of a question and answer session after that as well. Okay. Oh, okay. Maybe we're not quite ready yet.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone, for the participants here on site and remotely. This is the ALAC and CCNSO session on Monday, the 24th of March at 1400 local time, Singapore. And over to you, Maureen. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome to the ALAC CCNSO joint meeting. I'm actually just waiting for my presentation to come up so we can actually sort of like start, because I'm going to begin by giving a brief overview on what our role is as ALAC. Very simplified, very brief version. Great. Can I go straight into the next slide, please? Okay. First off, the key question here is where do our ALAC members come from? And of course, ALAC members are there are 10 ALAC members who are elected by our ALSs, which are our at-large structures. And what we have here is a map representing the five regions. We have about 160-odd ALSs at the moment spread over those five regions. I would just like to note that I actually come from the ALS, which is in the far right bottom corner of the map, in the Cook Islands, right in the middle of nowhere. And but the brown region represents Api Ralo, a really large and very diverse region. Next. How is the ALAC organised? We have 15 members of 15 members on the ALAC, and as I said, 10 members are elected by their RALOs. So we have five regions, and each region chooses two members to the ALAC, and one member is actually appointed by the NOMCOM. So we have 15 members on the team. And of course, the five regions, as you saw in the map previously, covering Africa, Asia Pacific, Europe, Latin America, and North America. When we've got our looking at the leadership within the group, we have what is called the At-Large Advisory Committee Leadership Team, the ALT, which is a few members of the ALAC plus the liaisons. And liaisons are, for example, I am the liaison for CCNSO. Alan is the liaison for the GNSO. We have Julie Hammer, who is the ISAC liaison. And we have Murray McKercher, who's the liaison for .mobi. So together we make up the ALT. And then we have, of course, we have our RALO chairs and the RALO secretariats. And with the ALAC and the RALO chairs elect the ALAC representative on the board, which is our current, is something that's happening at the moment. Will probably be decided on Wednesday. So that's coming up. Next. Okay, so role of the ALAC. There's actually a little booklet that's available and actually tells you all about what we actually do. But the whole purpose of the ALAC is, of course, providing advice on activities and how they relate to individual internet users. So that's the, in a nutshell, that's basically what we do. Next. And, of course, we do this by way of a whole lot of working groups. There's a process which I'm going to go through, and you will see that. But this is just a sample of some of the working groups that we're currently involved in. And they involve, like, I mean, there's a whole range of working groups that ALAC members take some leadership role in, ideally. But ALSs are very integral to the input that comes to policy development through these working groups. Next. This is a very brief overview of the process, okay, so that what normally happens is those policy statements come from CCNSO and other SOs within the system, comes to ALAC. ALAC puts together a working group. They decide on whether we need a working group to organise a statement. The working group works on it, gets back to a statement comes from the working group to the ALAC. We decide on whether it needs to, whether it needs to be further sent out for further consultation. Consultation happens and it comes back, and then we approve it or not, and then it goes back to whoever gave it to us in the first place to say this is our statement. This is the public consultation statement. Okay, that's it in a nutshell. Just as an example, what I've actually given you here are the working groups that are actually just that have been set up for one event. And that's Atlas 2 that's happening in London in June. So in order to make that happen, the ALSs, ALAC and the ALSs are very much involved in putting in all those different areas. So it's a very collaborative effort. It's not just what's going to happen in London isn't just going to be, it's not a one-person or one-man band thing. It's very inclusive, and all the RALOs and all the ALSs are involved. Oh, okay. Sorry. Forgot to mention that the Atlas 2, of course, is the at-large summit, which is where we're actually getting all the ALSs globally have been invited to attend a special event, a special capacity building event in London, which is why it's more inclusive. It can be inclusive because every single ALS that has actually been invited I think most of them are actually involved in a working group anyway. We're trying to get them all involved before they come. But in the working groups too, we try to make sure that there is representation across the RALOs. So that working groups aren't just focused on a particular region, they are representative of all the regions, so we're actually getting everyone's contributions. But I actually sort of put this particular group in because in the AP RALO region, for example, because the region is so diverse, in this particular working group, AP RALO is actually represented by ALSs from India, China, Armenia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, and Bahrain. And that's just one working group. You're getting that representation from one RALO. So the other RALOs will also be as diversely represented as well. Next. And just to finish off, just to sort of like to... advertise that just that this is an event that's being hosted. Our showcase is being hosted by AP RALO, and our theme is celebrating diversity. We would invite you all to come to our showcase on Wednesday. Drinks and nibbles. We think that that's going to be an enticement. Do come. Okay. Thank you. And now it's Katrina's. Questions after. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Katrina next. Unless you've got a question while Katrina's just setting up.
Well, I had a question, but
Since I have... While she's setting up, she's got a question.
May I ask while my presentation is being uploaded? So you mentioned you have a liaison with Dot Moby.
Yes.
That's interesting. Could you specify why Dot Moby? When?
Good question.
Okay.
I'll find out.
This is Heidi Ulrich. Within the Dot Moby bylaws, there's an element that there needs to be an at-large liaison or an ALAC liaison.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. I'm Katrina Sotak.
Yes.
I'm from CCNSO, and after our meeting in Buenos Aires, we realized that there's really a need for us to elaborate more on what CCTLDs are and what CCNSO is. One of the favorite sayings that CCTLDs really love, it's one size does not fit all, and it's perfectly applicable to CCTLDs and to CCNSO. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. So we all are working to make sure that the internet is working. Yes, that it's there. We believe that CCTLDs play a crucial role in ensuring that the internet is still working. But as you know, we have theoretically we can say that top level domains could be divided into a country called top-level domains and generic top-level domains. If we look at this picture, and I hope that you can see the numbers at the moment, and those are the latest data from IANA, at the moment there are 490 top-level domains delegated, and 285 of them are country called top-level domains. Most of them are Latin, however, 36 are non-Latin scripts at the moment. They are still considered CCTLDs. We hope that we're going to have even more non-Latin CCTLDs, but okay, those are the current numbers. Of course, it's going to change. Here I use numbers from one of the regional organizations of CCTLDs Center. These are quite old numbers, but still they show a general principle of market share and the growth. And again, it's going to change due to the new GTLDs coming on the stage. But actually, this shows the global breakdown of top-level domains. You know, .mobi is a very, very small, tiny share of all generic top-level domains, and there are really many top-level domains. And the top 20 largest country called top-level domains account for 70% of domain names registered under CCTLDs. So how actually CCTLDs are being delegated. First of all, there's nothing to invent there. There's an international standard, and it contains the list of country codes, two-letter country codes. And those country codes are assigned to a particular country or a territory according to this standard. So there's nothing what anyone could evaluate there's really no need for a long process. It's quite clear written in the standard. Best practice suggests that we have local management and operation in that particular country or territory, and the main goal of the CCTLD is to serve its local internet community. So, actually, the users who you represent. Each CCTLD has its own policy. Of course, some of them are more alike, some are completely different, but unlike in the case of generic top-level domains, ICANN does not say CCTLDs how to set up their policies. We do that on our own. Some CCTLDs have joined and, well, run according to UDRP, Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy. It's really optional. If a CCTLD wants, it can use the policy. And, of course, we expect that CCTLDs are run with technical competency, and we consider ourselves experts of the Internet. So regarding the policies, mostly... CCTLDs are run by not-for-profit organizations, and registration models and management models, again, they may differ. One size does not fit all. We can operate a registrar model. We can offer only direct registrations, or can quite many choose to operate a mixed model. There are four regional CCTLD organizations, and many CCTLDs choose to join these organizations. So this is AFTLD, APTLD Center, and LACTLD. However, not all CCTLDs are members of regional organizations. It's really a voluntary principle. If they want, they may join. Same as with CCNSO. This is, again, another volunteer organization, and at the moment there are 148 members. 148 CCTLDs have decided to join CCNSO. Not all CCTLDs which are members of regional organizations decide to join CCNSO, and perhaps vice versa. So not all CCTLDs, which are members of CCNSO, do join regional organizations in their regions. So, for some reason, does not work well, but what the CCNSO members do? First of all, they elect the council. They also elect two board members to ICANN. Members are the ones who decide, vote on policies and resolutions. Members participate in working groups and suggest topics to set meeting agenda. So this organization is for members, and members rule the CCNSO world. Speaking of the council, again, members elect... since this is Adobe Room, we don't have this nice animation. But the idea is that from each ICANN region, there are five ICANN regions, from each ICANN region, there are three councillors, which means there are 15 councillors elected by CCTLDs, plus we have three councillors from NOMCOM, four observers from regional organization, from each regional organization, and we also have liaisons to... other organizations. So unlike maybe other councils that you're used to, CCNSO Council has two main roles. First is administrative. It actually organizes the work of CCNSO. And another is representative. So at this moment, for example, we are here meeting with ALAC and councillors represent CCNSO. But all the major decisions are made by, not by the council, but by the members. Regarding ICANN, CCTLDs, as you could see actually this morning, CCTLDs are one of those who really rely on IANA function. We also may join CCNSO. Many CCTLDs financially contribute to ICANN and also to ICANN meetings. In many cases, when ICANN meetings are held in a particular country, a CCTLD is really very deeply involved in organizing the meeting, and including financial contribution. And, well, of course, some of CCTODs have exchanged letters with ICANN, some have agreements. So it's really... So those are main things I wanted to stress. One size does not fit all, and that's in terms of different CCTODs and in terms of different organizations. CCNSO is unlike other organizations within ICANN. So please bear that in mind when you rely on the council to make decisions. No, our members do. So thank you. Are there any questions? Oh, yes, please.
This is Eduardo Diaz. I have a question. You mentioned that do you develop policies, you know, for the CNSSO. Are these policies, do they apply also, you know, once they're established, do they apply to the non-members of the CCTLD?
CCNSO.
CCNSO.
Yeah, so CCTLDs are members of CCNSO, and policies apply only to the members of CCNSO. Other CCTLDs, they may choose, they want to follow the policies or not. And again, if a CCTLD, well, actually... It's not mandatory to be to stay the member of CCNSO forever. CCTLD may decide just to leave it if the CCTLD does not agree with the policy and does not want to follow this policy. I haven't heard of any case when a CCTLD would decide to leave a CCNSO, but theoretically it's possible. So no, only they're only binding to the members of CCNSO.
And another question, in order to become a part of the CCNSO, do you have to pay or it's free?
No, you don't have to pay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
In the sense of your question, Eduardo, we are voluntarily apply the policies because it's voluntary to be in CCNSO. At the same time, we have some characteristics that are very linked with the local situation of the CCTLDs. So sometimes we agree about the policies, but sometimes the policy not necessarily is have to be applied in the CCTLD in particular, because some local things could have a conflict with this kind of policies. So it's voluntarily. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
I think it's a very good point, and really CCTLDs, they do follow local laws and other regulations.
Thank you. Just one point, housekeeping point. Could you please state your name when you, for transcript purposes, when you make a presentation? Thank you. Sorry, Evan, I didn't see that. Evan.
You're not the first. This is Evan Leibovich for the record. I wanted to ask... as you know, here we are in ALAC, and we're supposed to be speaking for and at least trying to represent the interests of individual end users. And so I inform my workings here by talking to my family and friends that know nothing about the inner workings of the domain name system. And one of the things that keeps coming up is a matter of confusion. Most people, when they're using the Internet, don't know whether something is a generic or a CC or anything like that. So there might be an impression from some people that everything's managed out of the same place. Does there exist any kind of information or any kind of portal that would allow an end user to go to that says, these are managed by ICANN, these are not managed by ICANN, these are managed internally? This isn't a matter of asking for some kind of control so much as a matter of information, so that when somebody goes to a top-level domain, they understand which ones are under ICANN's governance. Well, sorry, not allowed to say the G word. Which ones are under ICANN's oversight and which ones are not? Thank you.
Hi, I'll take a stab at that. Byron Holland. from .ca and also currently chair of the CCNSO. I mean, really, when it comes down to TLDs, there's two primary types, CC operators and G operators. I can't speak for where you would find it specifically, but it's certainly my understanding that on the ICANN website, you're going to find the contracted parties and explanations of the differences. Becky?
The IANA website has a listing of all the CCTLDs and the CCTLD operators. So there, if you go to the IANA.org, you'll be able to find it.
And that is true. You'll see it on IANA.org. But all you'll see is the TLD and whether it's a country code or a generic, which... So that's absolutely true, but I'm not sure if you're just an end user who is not informed on the differences to begin with, if that's going to be helpful. And that's more what I heard in your question, as opposed to just a list, which it is true, it's at IANA. What's the difference?
Thank you.
ALAC are actually sort of like a little bit advantaged because they actually have little signs that say stand up. But if you're from CCNSO and you'd like to put, if you have, could you put your hand up so I can actually just identify? Did you want to say? Did you have a question?
My name is Rolf Meijer from .nl. In fact, Byron made my point. I think by the time that an end user knows about IANA and ICANN, he or she will probably know the difference between a GTLD and a CC.
Garth.
Thank you, Garth Bruin, Norello Chair. I think there's definitely a problem communicating to Internet users about this, and I'm glad that Evan brought it up, and it reminded me of the way that IANA keeps track of the contacts for different CCTLDs. When we asked them about this a few meetings ago, they send a New Year's holiday card to the contact address, and if the holiday card is returned by the Postal Service, then they'll make further inquiries. And I'm just wondering if this methodology has received any sort of update, especially if we're heading into a new era of multi-stakeholder oversight. Thank you.
I've been wondering where my holiday card from IANA went.
You're off the list.
Byron Holland from .ca. No, I think it's a little more robust than that. There is a significant process by which CC operators are validated in terms of are they the correct manager of a given CC. So there are policies in place that actually are quite specific to legitimizing whether that CC manager is in fact the correct one or not. It's definitely not just a holiday card.
It must have changed recently then. And I personally would love to see the documentation on the process. Thanks.
Holly?
Yeah, I can appreciate what was said earlier, which is, of course, that each Holly Raish for the transcript records, sorry, what was said earlier, which is each local area is responsible for the policies of its own country code. But the fact is we actually have a thing called CCNSO in ICANN. Now, how do you see your role in terms of the governance of a sovereign separate entity, and what role? What? How do you see ICANN's role, given that you're dealing with essentially sovereign managers?
I think the briefest answer would probably be if you're talking about an individual CC and its local policy, my answer would be there is none.
Sorry, can we just have your name, please?
Oh, sorry, Roelof Meijer from .nl for the record. Yeah. Apart maybe from making sure that IANA functions properly, but no policy role.
So could I ask the sort of discussions that happen in the CCNSO if there's no role in governance at all other than New Year's Eve cards?
Roelof Meijer, that's why I said local policy. In the CCNSO, if we talk about policy, it's about global policy. So certain parts of policy that affect all CCs, for instance, on IDN technical aspects.
I guess that's what I meant. Obviously, you don't talk about local, but in terms of the discussions that you have, what would you cover and what would you expect the response to be in terms of your discussions, given that we've now identified them as global? Thank you.
I think our chair will pick up on this, but I think the best example, recent example, is IDNs and the IDN version of CC.
My name is Bart Boswinkel, CCNSO support staff. The policy scope of the CCNSO is very, very limited. It deals, if you were in the room next door up till there, it deals about what Ray Pulczak called the transactional relations on CCTLD. So what is happening in the IANA database? And the recent example of that one is the IDN policy that is about the selection of an IDN CCTLD strings and all the policies around it. That is the scope, policy scope of the CCNSO. The second one, what the CCNSO also does and what some of your members are observers to, is what is called framework of interpretation, dealing with delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs in general. Again, that is transactional at the level of IANA. And what you see there, and this is the way the CCNSO policy is structured, it is a very, very heavy-handed process. Until now, there were only two policies in the CCNSO. One was on its own bylaws, and that was more a dry run to learn how to do it. And the second one is the IDM PDP, and that one has taken 6 years. And is, yeah, in the meantime, we know this. In the meantime, we had what is called the IDN Fast Track. And we learned, and that's again one of the things of the CCNSO, in the policy development of the IDNs, we learned from what was done and from the implementation of the fast-track process. That's why it took so long. And yeah, you don't want to spend too much resources on both. So it's really about IANA. Going back to your question, the relation between the policies of the CCNSO and individual CCTLDs, in principle, what you see happening in the GNSO around who is policies is excluded of the policy remit. The CCNSO has no power policy rights with regard to policies or registration policy, transaction policies of individual CCTLDs.
Only because you've only just walked in, Keith.
Keith Davidson, for the record, and I was sitting in the back of the room, but I was irresistibly drawn forwards with this topic. And probably the one thing that Bart couldn't have commented on that I can is that is to assert the independence of the policy-making framework for the CCTLDs, that it's virtually impossible for ICANN to deliver top-down policies to us. We reserve our rights, and we have a very strong principle of subsidiarity that if there is a policy decision made by the CCNSO if a CCTLD has a problem as it would conflict with local law in their country, then they have an exemption from being bound to that policy as well. So it's probably quite important to understand those first principles, particularly as we walk forward in the IANA new world. Thank you.
Yes, I recognise that Olivier has his card up.
Thank you very much, Maureen. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking for the record. The problem of speaking after Keith Davidson is that he answers your question before you ask it, which is a bit of a problem. Thankfully, I had a second question to fall back on, which was a follow-up from Evans, just as a clarification. With regards to the list of CCTLDs, it's well understood that there is a list of CCTLDs and GTLDs, etc., all on the IANA website. Is there a list of CCTLDs showing which ones are members of the CCNSO and which ones are not members of the CCNSO? I know there is a list of members of the CCNSO, but I don't know whether there's anyone that shows the ones that are not members.
Keith Davidson again. No, there isn't a definitive list in that regard. There, on the ccnso.icann.org website, there is a list of the members, but that doesn't correlate with the IANA database. So unless they're a member, we don't mention them as members. So I guess if your spreadsheeting capabilities are reasonable, you can grab both databases and hack them together. But I think the last exercise I saw was that of the 246 ASCII CCTLDs, 146 or 147 are members, but they account for about 99.something% of the domain names registered in the CCTLD environment. So the 100 that are not members tend to be very small and or non-existent.
Thank you for that, Keith. We're just running a little bit over time, but we have one question from Eduardo.
This is Eduardo. It's just a curiosity. Do you have, in the CCNSO, do you have, an outreach program to go to those that are not members? I mean, do you actually actively look for those to try to be part of the CCNSO?
Byron Holland from .ca. No, there isn't an active outreach. It is something that we have discussed in terms of capacity building or further outreach, and that is not a program that we have in place. Any CC is welcome to join us, but we're not out soliciting for new membership.
Yes, Olivier.
I may be first.
Oh, sorry, yes. Let's see that.
My name is Abibu from the TZ Registry. In terms of outreach, the member organization which are working with the CCNSO, like FTLD, APTLD, and the rest, they do outreach programs in terms of capacity building, and basically they do collaborate with ICANN, NSRC, and ISOC.
Thank you very much, Maureen. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc again. So I unfortunately missed the beginning of the meeting, so I'm hoping that I'm not repeating things that have been said earlier. But the at-large advisory committee, the at-large community is made up of 160 at-large structures, and we're scattered throughout the world. One thing which we have done with the ASO a couple of years ago, actually, was to try and map out those countries which had ASO members in the country and those countries which had the local at-large structures in the country. And I wonder whether that might be an easy exercise, I think, that could be done to find out if there are any countries that the CCNSO doesn't have members in and that the ALAC has members in, and vice versa. We're looking towards trying to have one ALS in every country in the world. That's our aim, in order to be able to cover the whole planet. and be able to get the input from internet users from everywhere. We need that diversity, and we need all the help we can have on our side. I don't know whether you're actively looking for help to perhaps identify means of bringing more members in the CCNSO, but that's just an open offer.
Keith, have you got?
Thanks, Maureen. Keith Davidson for the record. That's an interesting proposition, and maybe that deserves some more discussion between us. I wouldn't say that we've been on a rampant program of seeking to adopt further countries, but we don't have a closed door policy either. But we've generally left it to the regional TLD organisations who collaborate so strongly with us for them, with their own outreach programs, to encourage participation. So, but there are some groups also, just to add a further complexity to the idea of the IANA database and the membership of the CCNSO, there are also people or CCTLDs who can be part of ICANN through an exchange of letters or an accountability mechanism who don't want to be part of the CCNSO. So, there are other mysteries as well.
Yeah, thanks very much, Keith. Just as a follow-up, it's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking for the record. One of the things that we have found a couple of years down the line is that, of course, we also have a RALO structure. We divide the world in the five regions, and the ASO was also, the RIRs basically were divided among the five regions, maybe even slightly differently in some of the regions of the world. But what has spontaneously come out of the equation is that we now have RALOs that are signing memorandums with their local regional internet registry for further collaboration and cross-pollination sometimes of activities. If there is any need in user input, etc., the RALOs make use of this and vice versa as well. We might be jumping very far ahead, but I'm giving you this as an example as with the sort of interaction that there has been between the address reporting organization that is often seen as being the poor child of ICANN that no one really takes much notice of. At least that's what they used to say in the past, but we take much notice of them, and now obviously with the IANA function, it's out there. But this is one of the things really that we've worked at, and it might be something we might wish to explore in the future, but it is true that, in general, the regions have got a strong point into this, and, of course, it's up to them to work on that.
Thank you for that, Olivier. And Don Hollander has actually just reminded me that one of those collaboration partnerships is to be signed on Wednesday between AP RALO and AP TLD. And APNIC. We actually have two MOUs, but one is specifically with APTLD. And so we, we're actually sort of like starting to look. Yeah, we're with STEM. I think we really need to thank you very much for your questions and your interest in what in our presentation today. Thank you, Katrina. And I think what we've even the discussions that we've actually sort of like had today will actually be able to help us with our coordinating group to All right.
Thank you very much, Maureen. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So one last thing before we go and continue with this mad week of ICANN meetings. I wanted to extend an invitation to Byron and to all of you to come to the at-large summit in London. We have 160 at-large structures that are all coming to London. They're coming for a weekend of plenary sessions and then a week of workshops and interaction with the community. I know I shall be sending you an email, Byron, to come and speak to our community and interact with them and go much further than just describing what the CCNSO is all about, but actually sort of engaging in further discussion. So, of course, everyone is welcome. All of the at-large meetings are open, so the at-large summit will be no different. It'll be open to everyone as well. And that's all for the time being. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the offer, and I look forward to that email.
That's the end of my session. Now we're going to go back to the beginning, which was the introductions by the leaders.
Okay, well, welcome, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you very much.
Thanks, and goodbye.
This meeting has been adjourned. Thank you.